In the mail this week, I got a piece of mail that really irritated me. It was from the Audubon Society, a group that I have never supported financially, have never shown any interest in. But they sent me a set of personalized address labels. And in the letter that they sent with it, it said this: "Enclosed, please find a set of address labels. There are free gift to you. I hope you will use the first one when you return your National Audubon Society acceptance form." So they're saying they're giving me a gift, but they're really doing it in a way to kind of push me to reciprocate and support their cause. So it didn't feel like a gift exactly. I never know whether to use those things or to throw them away, which seems like bad stewardship, because they're trying to push you into sending them a check so that you'll use them with a free conscience. It just didn't feel like a gift. It felt like a transaction with an expected return. The assumption is that we will guilt you into giving to our cause, and it seems like a technique that takes the issues of fairness and generosity and corrupts them just a little bit. They're pushing me to do something that should be done from the heart. The gospel today gives us guidance about what we are to do with gifts that God has given us, and especially about the gift of forgiveness. But this story, unlike the Audubon Society mailing, is not about a transaction. It's about a transformation. In the parable, we have debtors. One, a king who forgives a great debt, and then the person forgiven fails to forgive a small debt. The point of the parable, at least in part, is for us to look at what God has given us, to know that we are using that gift, and to think, shouldn't that knowledge of that forgiveness of God change the way we treat others? We, after all, have sinned against God countless times, and yet God continues to forgive us, literally countless times. And yet we, like Peter, want to know just how many times we have to forgive another person. Is it 7 times? Is it 70 times 7? Now, to be fair to Peter in this story, this idea of 7 times was a big step up from what the rabbis generally taught. Based on some Old Testament readings, the rabbis taught that you were to forgive 3 times, and then you could begin to kind of write off that other person. But the place that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, the place where we miss the point is not in the number we choose, but in the very act of counting the number of times we're called to forgive. We are human beings, after all, and so we crave carefully defined rules so that we can measure our behavior and the worth and behavior of other people, so that we can know at some point we'll be allowed to return to our resentful and unforgiving ways. This question sometimes, these numbers that are in this passage, it makes us ask, when can we stop forgiving those who offend us repeatedly? Is it 70 or 77 or 7 times 70? And the people of the time of Jesus would hear that story and they would know that he meant never stop forgiving. One of the dangers of this parable that we have today, like most parables, is we try to figure out where we can put ourselves into the story. I think we would love to put ourselves in the king's place instead of the place of the unworthy servant. But this story is told to jolt us into remembering what God has already given us so that we can extend grace to others. Because sometimes we bump along and we get in a hurry and we forget what God has done for us. There is a place in the Eucharistic prayer that we use that is called the anamnesis. And it is defined as a prayer of remembrance about the saving events of Jesus' death and resurrection. The word anamnesis, if it sounds sort of like amnesia, anamnesis means the opposite of that. It means not forgetting. Not forgetting the saving acts of Jesus. When we forgive, we are telling ourselves, don't forget that God loved us first. Don't forget that God forgave us first, that all we have and all we can do as healed and whole human beings comes from the saving grace of God. As Christians, we are called to be uniquely forgiving, people of humility and repentance and forgiveness. We respond with forgiveness to hurts in our lives, not to complete a transaction, but to live out a transformation. Our God is a God of mercy. And we who follow that God of mercy are called to be bearers of that mercy and forgiveness. We are called to practice forgiveness willingly and repeatedly. And we live it out here in our church at St. Peter's. And we remind each other here at St. Peter's. We thank God for the life-saving divine grace given us by letting forgiveness transform us into people with loving hearts, people who then choose to forgive what is done to us. Simple love and generosity and grace and forgiveness do not come naturally or comfortably to us. We are encouraged by our competitive consumerist society to count everything, to ask when we know we have won, to ask when we have completed our transaction. So we struggle when we're asked to forgive repeatedly without counting the transgressions, as God forgives us. And we forgive not by the passing of sufficient time, or by magic, or even by asking God to take our resentment away. We forgive by an act of will. Forgiveness is an act of will. We will live lives of peace and of grace when we choose forgiveness, when we choose to serve God. And in Scripture it says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Will you serve the God of mercy by trying to forgive the people who repeatedly hurt you? Very often in passages like this, I hear and probably have said things about how it's actually much healthier for us to forgive, for us to move on. There is a favorite quote of mine that says, "A holding resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die." Now, there is a health benefit in terms of mental health, spiritual health, physical health, to use your will to say, "I will forgive." But we don't choose it for that reason, because then again it becomes a transaction. We give to God with generous hearts, not because it improves our health or because God will grant us prosperity. We give to God our love, our energy, our passion, our resources, and yes, our loving forgiveness of God's people, because God first forgave us. There is a passage in 1 John that outlines this, and it tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love." We love because he first loved us. And 1 John goes on to say, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." And we're called not just to stop hating, but to try to use our will to forgive repeatedly. This extension of repeated forgiveness to those who hurt us is not a transaction, it's a gift. It is given out of generous hearts when we recognize that everything we have comes from God. So the question becomes not what do we deserve, but how do we respond? With the completion of a transaction, by counting and forgiving just as much as we're required by law to do, or by using the gift to extend forgiveness to someone else. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come magically. It comes when we will ourselves to follow Jesus and when we have gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Some of us have clear watershed moments in our lives when we saw the grace of God for the first time. And in those moments of inspiration, we declare that we are willing to carry the love of God to others. But what happens days or weeks or months or years down the road when the memory of that epiphany fades? Will we still choose to follow Jesus? Will we use our will to forgive? When we feel less urgency, less inspiration, will we choose to forgive the debts of those who have trespassed against us? We come together here as a community to remember what God has done for us and to practice extending that grace and forgiveness to ourselves and others. We reenact God's saving acts through our worship and our scripture, and we tell each other not to forget what God has done for us. We respond with forgiveness to others, not to complete a transaction, but to live out the transformation. Grace and forgiveness are truly gifts from God. Now, I suppose God, like the Audubon Society, hopes that I will use those gifts to further the cause. And the cause in this case is the cause of loving God and loving neighbor. The world becomes better in very small steps. Hurt people hurt other people. Forgiven people forgive other people. Will we choose to break the cycle of hurt and initiate the cycle of forgiveness? We come together and tell each other, don't forget. We never forget the saving acts of Jesus Christ. We never forget the forgiveness that God has given us again and again and again. We love because God first loved us. We forgive because God first forgave us. We are Christians and we choose to follow Christ. We are Christians. We stop counting and we forgive. Amen.